Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the hot stove is hot in a lot of ways that kind of affect the Dodgers. So a lot to talk about, so let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Vince and I are doing a split episode, so he'll be with you for the second half of this show. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And the reason we're going split today, a little behind-the-scenes stuff. As most of you know, if you're regular listeners, I am an hour later than you guys. I'm in the Mountain Time Zone, whereas most of you are in the Pacific Time Zone. And it just so happens that on Monday, November 29th, I am substitute teaching at my son's elementary school, actually in his fifth grade class. And so I have to get to bed early. And normally, Vince and I, on a night like this, when the hot stove is hot and rumors are flying, we would stay up as late as possible and bring this show to you. You know, we try to have it in your inboxes by about 1 o'clock in the morning, every weekday morning, so that you can listen. Even if you get up way early for work, you can have something to listen to on your way to work. That's our goal. But it presents a challenge on days like this when there are a lot of rumors flying, because you run the risk of things being outdated by the time you're listening to them. Our buddy Bryce over at Locked On Rangers, as he was uploading his podcast tonight, Sunday night, the Rangers signed John Gray, or the reports came out that they are signing him. And so things like that, it's a challenge we face. So I have to be at a bit early tonight. So I'm doing the first half of this episode. I am going to be focusing on the things we know that the Dodgers, as of right now, when I'm recording, it's 8:55 p.m. where I am, 7:55 Pacific time on Sunday night. And the Dodgers haven't yet signed anybody during this frenzy, nor have they lost any of their free agents during this frenzy. That could change by the time Vince records. Vince is going to record his half in a couple hours. So I'm going to talk about the things we do know. He will then talk about what we know at that point, and we will go from there. So if you're here for Max Scherzer news, one way or the other, that'll be in the second half, because as of right now, it's just rumors when I'm recording, and it might still be when Vince records. Who knows? We'll find out together. But so that's the plan. I'm going to talk about the things we do know that, like I said, nothing is specific to the Dodgers, but a lot of things affect the Dodgers one way or another. And then Vince later will talk about things we know in a couple hours. So I mentioned John Gray signing with the Rangers. The Rangers have had a big day today. They signed John Gray for 4 years and $56 million, and Marcus Semien for 7 years, $175 million. And the John Gray signing, it makes me a little sad. I wanted John Gray. I've mentioned I'm a big John Gray fan. And for $4 and $56 million, $14 million a year, I would have really liked John Gray under that contract with the Dodgers. Obviously, you know, John Gray gets to choose if he has multiple offers. I don't even know if the Dodgers were in on Gray at all. There may be things about him that they made them not be interested or whatever, or not interested at that price. Who knows? But I'm a little bit bummed that Gray went for relatively cheap. Even 4 years isn't super long for a guy his age. So I wouldn't have minded seeing John Gray under that. Marcus Semien is an interesting deal. 7 years for a guy who's already in his 30s. And, you know, I underestimated Marcus Semien last offseason. I said I wasn't sure that, you know, he was going to repeat his one good offensive season. And he actually had an even better season. And so, you know, I expect Marcus Semien to be really good for at least the next few years. I don't know about 7 years, you know, and maybe it was one of those things. $175 million, that's $25 million a year. That's not terrible. And maybe it's one of those things where they're spreading it out a little bit. Maybe it would have been a 30 million a year. You know, maybe they were wanting to go $5,150, but to drop the average annual value down a little bit, they went to $7,175. I don't know, but, it seems interesting, but when you're the Rangers, and you know we've talked about this a little bit, the Rangers are not a very good team right now, and so they're going to have to overpay a little bit. They also signed Cole Calhoun, which despite the fact that he's had some success against the Dodgers, pretty much a non-factor to me. But I've even back when Calhoun was in his prime, I was pretty low on the Calhoun hype train. So I'm not blown away by that one. I do think these moves, John Gray and Marcus Semien, make them better for 2022 and 2023. For the next couple of years, they're going to be better. And there are reports that this doesn't mean that they're out on the other shortstops. Semien was a shortstop. He went to the Blue Jays, played more second base with them. And so the Rangers have been in contact supposedly with all four big name shortstops, Seager, Correa, Story, and whoever else I'm forgetting. And so according to reports, this doesn't put them out of the running for any of those guys, which means they're still theoretically in the running for Seager. They have spent a lot of money. And so, it seems like maybe they'd be more inclined to go with the Trevor Story route, the less expensive shortstop, but who knows? So, this affects the Dodgers in that they don't get John Gray. They don't get Marcus Semien, which I don't think was likely anyway, but it was a possibility. And it doesn't make things any more secure for the Dodgers on the Corey Seager front. Another move that we had on Sunday was Kevin Gausman signing with the Blue Jays, 5 years, $110 million. Great move for the Blue Jays, 5 years for Gausman. I have no idea. It's not terribly long. I don't mind a 5-year contract for a guy like him. It's so hard to know. Gausman has been really good the last couple of years after being not great for a while. And so if he really figured something out, great. Sending him to the American League East, it'll be a challenge. We'll see what happens. But it gets him out of the National League West. It weakens the Giants a little bit. So no complaints there. I wouldn't have minded seeing Gausman on the Dodgers again. Any good pitcher, I'm interested in the Dodgers signing him. But I don't know that the Dodgers were ever really on his radar. So this one more affects the Dodgers along the lines of Gausman no longer being in the National League West. And that's not a bad thing. And one more guy who's no longer in the National League West is Adam Frazier, who the big trade that the Padres made at the trade deadline to get Adam Frazier that was supposed to put them over the top. And then, it didn't. He was not good with the Padres. They traded him to the Mariners for two prospects who are not as good as the guys they traded to the Pirates to get Frazier. I think we can chalk this one up in the lost column for the Padres. Frazier, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. He was much better in the first half of 2021 with the Pirates than he's been at any other point in his career. So who knows if he can actually hit, and even then he didn't have any power. So, Adam Frazier, honestly, it makes the Padres a little bit better to not have Frazier on the team anymore. If they can find a way to trade, what's his name? The guy who looks like the guy from the Croods. Eric Hosmer, then, that would improve them too. But getting Frazier off their roster, I guess, is a step forward. So Padres well on their way to winning the offseason again by getting rid of Adam Frazier. I'm going to come back in a minute. There's a couple other little moves to talk about how they affect the Dodgers. So thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it, and keep it locked on Dodgers. Hey, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends logging for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. I'm just going to do a quick Twitter update to see if anything happened while I was talking in that first segment. Max Scherzer and the Mets are close to finalizing a multi-year deal, source confirms. So it seems like it's getting closer. So nothing official yet, so we will leave the Scherzer talk to Vince in the second half of this episode still. But the rumors are that Scherzer's close with the Mets, and I was going to talk a little bit about some of the other things the Mets did this weekend. They signed Eduardo Escobar, Starling Marte, and Mark Canha all in the same day. And those are all good moves for the Mets. And, Escobar, I don't think... I guess it's kind of funny that he's the one who seemed least like a possibility for the Dodgers, despite the fact that third base is maybe a position of question for the Dodgers, but Escobar just never seemed like a right fit for the Dodgers. Starling Marte, I would have loved to have with the Dodgers. I don't know where they would have played him. You know, it's not like it's an obvious fit, but we've talked about Marte in the past. I really like his skill set. I like, you know, pretty much everything about Starling Marte. And so I would have been a big fan of that. It would be funny if he and Scherzer both end up on the Mets, because it was Marte who broke up Scherzer's perfect game with a two-out hit-by-pitch that he leaned into a couple of years ago. Scherzer still got the no-hitter, but he didn't get the perfect game because Marte leaned into the pitch. So that'd be funny if they're on the same team. And then Canna going to the Mets. Canna is one that we had talked about as a possibility with the Dodgers. Again, you know, it's hard kind of covering the Dodgers in this because they don't let things leak. So we don't have any idea if the Dodgers were interested in Marte or Canna or Escobar or any of these other guys. You know, all we know is that Canna has a skill set, you know, positional flexibility, blah, 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 all that. That seemed like it might fit with the Dodgers. But in the end, the Mets went and got all three of those guys. And really, the Mets are going for it, it seems like. You know, they lost Noah Syndergaard in free agency. It seems like they're not bringing back Marcus Stroman. There's been some drama over the weekend. Stroman basically calling out the Mets for not wanting him back. But offensively and defensively, it seems like they're going for it. I think they might still be in the mix for Javi Baez, but they seem to be going for it, except who are they going to have to pitch behind Jacob DeGrom? You know, that's the big question mark. They're going to need to get some pitching. And so, you know, if they do finalize this deal with Max Scherzer, that's a big step for them. But Canna, Marte, and Escobar are all a big step for the Mets. And what it does for the Dodgers is it just kind of narrows down the Dodgers' options, you know. And I know the Dodgers, we don't know what their plan is coming into this offseason, but we know they had one. We know they have one. They have a plan all the time to put together a good team. And so we as fans can kind of fantasize about, oh, it'd be awesome if they got this guy and this guy and this guy. And then we get disappointed when they don't sign those guys. But in the end, you know, the Dodgers have a plan. Doesn't mean it's foolproof. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't even mean it's the right plan, but they have a plan. And obviously if they lose Scherzer, which they might have by the time you're listening to this, that maybe is that's somebody we do know the Dodgers are interested in Scherzer. So if they don't sign Scherzer, it's a little bit of a departure from their plan. Although on the other hand, you know, it looks like the Mets are maybe willing to go 4 years on Scherzer, which means, you know, that's probably more than the Dodgers would have wanted to go, especially that high in average annual value. So the Dodgers have their plans and they have their backup plans. So, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I wish they had gotten this guy. I wish they had gotten this guy. You know, like I said, I would love to have John Gray. I would love to have Kevin Gausman. I would have loved to have Starling Marte. They didn't get any of those guys. That doesn't mean they messed up. It just means that their plan is different than my plan for them. And in this case, I'm inclined to trust them, the people who are proven to be good at this over me, who's proven to, I have a lot of strengths when it comes to baseball and baseball analysis and stuff. But I would never claim to be smarter or better at putting together a team than Andrew Friedman, because Andrew Friedman, I believe, is one of the best people in the world at putting together a baseball team. And that means something, and that's going to continue to mean something here in this off season. So there's been a big flurry of stuff because there's probably a work stoppage coming in a couple days and teams need to get these contracts finalized, which means physicals taken and everything, paperwork signed before the lockout, so that they don't have to wait until after that gets resolved, whenever that is. So that's why we're seeing so much of a flurry right now. And with that, that's about all I have to say, because Vince is going to have some news. I have a feeling he's going to have some important stuff to talk about for the second half of this episode. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to Vince. We love talking to you. And hopefully tomorrow he and I will be here together talking with you guys about whatever's going on in Dodgers news. So stick around, because Vince will be along in a minute.
It's here, the best Monday of the year, Cyber Monday. And Built.com is a place to aim your mouse to get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% off site-wide, and even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Built Broth, and Built Swag. So head over to Built.com, check it all out. A brand new Built Bar flavor landed just in time for Cyber Monday. caramel almond delight, and it delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful, double check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate, so for a limited time, there's a special new Built Bar Puffs flavor white chocolate cheesecake. The yummy protein treat filled with marshmallowy center, covered in white chocolate. Tis the season to save and to give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. Get to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. Head to Built.com, enter code LOCK20 before it's too late. Yo, 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 Dodger fans, Vince here to close out the episode. I waited a long time and nothing really happened on the Scherzer front. Max Scherzer is still a free agent at this time. There's been a lot of reports and the wording that even Jeff used earlier this episode of close to finalizing the deal, whatever the wording was. The report is that he's going to get $42 million annually over 3 or 4 years, or that's the offer from the Mets. And what I put this out on Twitter, and we've talked about this before. Andrew Friedman doesn't bid against himself, or doesn't overbid himself. Andrew Friedman has a number in mind for length of contract and for money. And if somebody goes over that, more than likely he's not going to go over that. And it's one of those things where I don't want to call the Mets desperate, but, new owner, were in first place for half the season and didn't end up making the playoffs, saw their division rival end up winning the World Series. And they've seen Noah Syndergaard leave, and they already signed some offensive help, and now they need a pitcher to sit behind DeGrom, and that's where Max Scherzer would step in. And everything pointed to Max Scherzer wanting to be on a West Coast team, wanting to be on a team that wins. He was linked to the Dodgers, obviously, and then the Giants and Angels have also been mentioned. And then the Mets kind of threw themselves in, and that's what everyone's been saying, all the reporters saying. The Mets kind of threw themselves in last minute, and they're coming with big money and maybe an extra year. The Dodgers are probably willing to go that third year, but are definitely not willing to go a fourth year, especially not at $42 million. So the Mets are going to come in and overpay a bit. And that's really the only way that you can beat out the Dodgers money-wise is by overpaying, because even if the Dodgers had unlimited money, Andrew Friedman's not one to overpay. He doesn't need to. The Scherzer structure works out for the Dodgers because they are fans of short contracts, high annual average value. And that's why, it felt like they could get Scherzer back, but the Mets are going to take it a step further. If they had that fourth year, I think that, that's really what's going to take them over the top. And, I haven't seen it too much, but I'm sure if it does end up happening, people will talk about, the Trevor Bauer deal taking the Dodgers out of this. But, the Dodgers are in. I would imagine the Dodgers are in as much as 3 years, $40 million a year, 3 years, $120 million. But if the Mets offer 4 years, 160 whatever million, that's more money, obviously, an extra year. And for a 37-year-old pitcher who, did break down last year in the postseason, obviously he had to throw something extra than he normally would. But that's just the fact of the matter, is he's a guy that maybe can't do what he was able to do earlier in his career. And that's not something you necessarily need to ask out of a starting pitcher to close out a game and then come back and pitch. But I'm sure it's a small factor in why the Dodgers would not really want to give him that fourth year. And like I said, you can't compete with, the Mets aren't desperate per se, but they're like, I don't know what's a equivalent with a lower connotation of desperate, but that's where they're at. And you can't compete with that. It doesn't matter. The Dodgers, unless they offered maybe Scherzer 3 years, $150 million, maybe that's the way they would be able to get him. But at this point, it doesn't look like Max Scherzer is going to be a Dodger. Now, tomorrow we could come back on tomorrow's episode and Max Scherzer could be a Dodger. I mean, we've seen we've seen it happen before, that Max Scherzer was going to be a Padre, and then he ended up being a Dodger with Trey Turner. So that's a matter. But for Scherzer, the biggest thing is that I'm sure it would throw a big wrench into the Dodgers' plans, and it would change what the cost of acquiring starting pitching is going to be. You know, do they pivot to a Robbie Ray or Marcus Stroman, which are probably the two best arms left on the free agent market? Do they go to the trade route, you know, with one of the guys from the A's that I mentioned last week, Frankie Montas, Chris Bassett? Do they talk to the Reds, Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo? Do they, you know, try to find somebody else and deal for that? You know, I don't know. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about before is just free agents cost money, which at the end of the day for the Dodgers isn't the biggest thing, whereas pitchers via trade cost prospects, and prospects are a little more valuable in this sense, especially in the fact that the Dodgers have had to use prospects to get a lot of guys in recent years, and they probably want to continue to do that. And if they do it in the offseason, it leaves them a little bit weaker to do it mid-season when, you know, maybe they want to make an extra trade to put them over the top for the final playoff push. So the good thing is that nobody in the division's gotten better so far. The Giants lost Gausman. Buster Posey retired. They're not going to bring back Chris Bryant. And they brought back, you know, their other guys. The Padres got rid of Adam Frazier. Haven't done anything else. Haven't really been linked to anything else. And then the D-backs and Rockies are just the D-backs and Rockies. You know, the one of the other things mentioned is if they don't end up getting Scherzer, you know, maybe they go harder at Corey Seager, or they throw a little bit more money at him. I would imagine they have the same number range, you know, for Seager. If they really wanted to keep him, they could keep him. I don't think losing out on Max Scherzer really changes that too much, because at the end of the day, it's not like bringing back Corey Seager, it means that the offense is going to put up 6 runs a game, which means that starting pitching becomes a little less prominent, because it would be bringing back the same guy that they had last year. And we saw last year that the offense could still struggle no matter how many all-stars are in the lineup, or no matter how many, you know, above average players are in the lineup, the offense can still struggle. So starting pitching is still a premium right now, and still something they need. As of right now, they have Walker Buehler, they have Julio, they have Andrew Heaney. And then after that, it's Tony Gonsolin, David Price, Ryan Pepiot, Andre Jackson as starting pitchers. So they definitely need more starting pitching. You know, Clayton Kershaw, I would, you know, I don't know if the Rangers are doing all this spending to try to lure Kershaw, or if all this spending they're doing takes them out of the running for Kershaw. We haven't really heard anything other than that the Rangers have talked to Kershaw. Chris Woodward, manager Chris Woodward, said that they've reached out and talked to him. You know, I'm sure the Dodgers are going to bring him back. I'm not too concerned about that, but you never know. The one big thing about today, Monday, is that it appears that whoever hasn't signed that wants to sign is going to sign on Monday, because they need to do physicals and everything before that Wednesday deadline to get deals official. Because after Wednesday, there will be a freeze. No signings, no free agent moves, no trades, no nothing. I don't know if there will even still be rumors. You know, I don't think teams can technically talk to agents. Although, you know, that doesn't mean too much. As long as you don't get caught, I would imagine that that's not a big deal. But we'll see. So that means on tomorrow's episode, we might have a lot more to talk about. Maybe Dodger-related, maybe who the Dodgers missed out on, you know, maybe who the Dodgers can get once they get back from this lockout. But yeah, that's going to do it for today's episode. That's what's on tap for tomorrow's episode. Hopefully we're talking about Max Scherzer and Corey Seager coming back to the Dodgers and all is well in Los Angeles. But I don't know if that's going to be the case. Either way, we'll be here tomorrow morning and talk about all of it. Got you all covered. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for making us your first listen every single morning. Make sure to check out Locked On Bets for your second listen every morning. They got your boy Q and Lee Sterling providing that top expert analysis and insight that's free and available on all platforms. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow, subscribe wherever you get podcasts, make us your first listen every weekday morning. Follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can follow Jeff on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can always get a hold of us via text or voicemail at 323-863-LOCK. That's 5625. Or email lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.